Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Adina Olbermann, a mom, former preschool teacher, picture book lover, and member of the Familius marketing team. I'm also the creator of Big Books for Little Hands, a site dedicated to connecting parents and teachers with the best books for the ups and downs of life with little ones. We welcome today's guest, Sarah Jane. Sarah is a content creator and blogger based in Pennsylvania. Her accounts provide a glimpse of lifestyle and travel as a millennial mom. It has been a beautifully messy journey raising her two young girls in a bilingual and multicultural environment. The mission of her blog and social channels, Sarah Jane Explores, is to show the benefits of cultural learning and traveling with your kids. Yes, even when they're young. This episode aligns with the Familius habits, learn together and play together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on familius.com. Welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're really excited to have you because just looking at all of what you share on social media and your blog, there are so many questions that I want to ask you and so many topics that I want to dive into. So, but maybe we can start with how you got started with blogging and sharing about your family and all of the details about your life. How did you get started with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my background, actually similar to yours, is in education. I went through graduate school to become an educator, and I worked actually here in Pennsylvania at Penn State for close to a decade before COVID happened. And I was unexpectedly working from home for a couple years, as were a lot of us. And I also was having my second child at that time. So I was on maternity leave and spending a lot of time just with my kids. And I started this channel actually when I was on maternity leave with my youngest. And my goal, my purpose at that time was really just to connect with other moms, because it's a really isolating experience being on maternity leave, especially being on maternity leave during a global pandemic. And so I was really just hoping to connect with other moms and talk about my struggles, be able to vent to someone who understands. And it really, from there, just kind of snowballed in ways I wasn't really looking for and I wasn't really expecting, but it's been a really neat and exciting journey just to see how many doors it's opened to both connect with so many women, but then also to be able to get to a point where I could work from home full time and be able to spend more time with my kids. And so I've been doing blogging and content creation now for about a year. And I still incorporate a lot of the motherhood. I think it's important to talk about the challenges, the ups and downs, but also really honing in on travel and cultural learning. You know, we're a multiracial, bilingual family. And so those are topics that are very applicable for who we are as a family, but also regardless of your family and their background, it's so important for us to have these conversations with our kids and expose them to these cultural learning opportunities. So that's really how I got into that and what my goal is at this point.
And so again, so many questions I want to ask about so much of what you said. I think all of what you said about how you got started really resonates with so many parents, especially moms. I think COVID, as much as it was an incredibly difficult time, also gave parents, especially mothers, a space and a time to delve into their passions or discover new passions and really this place where we could think about our lives and our interests in a different way and explore them in different ways. So I think that a lot of our listeners will really connect with your journey as well. You mentioned how important it is for you to incorporate travel and especially multicultural experiences into life with your family. So can you talk a little bit more about how all of that plays a role and how you make that actually happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband is first generation American. Both of his parents came as refugees from Central America. And so growing up in his home, Spanish was his first language. Even though he was born and raised in Maryland, he never learned any English until he went to kindergarten. And so that really, that experience of kind of living in a bubble within the US really kind of shaped who he is and the values that he has and really the cultural ties that are so important to him to this day. And as him and I, coming from very different backgrounds, you know, I'm from kind of a rural area in Iowa and him coming from Maryland, just two very different backgrounds. So coming together, we really had to think, how do we want to raise our kids? And so we really just decided the best thing to do is really to show them both. And not only just his background and mine, but we want them to see so many other people's backgrounds, understand how they view the world, how they live differently, what are the reasonings behind that? Because I think in order to really have a child who has experience with global learning, cultural understanding, you have to have those conversations, especially when it gets a little bit stickier, a little bit complicated. You just have to keep pushing through. And so for us, we decided when my oldest was born, we really wanted to focus on having Spanish and English in our home, having our girls grow up to be fully bilingual in both languages. And so there are so many ways to incorporate that as a sense of cultural learning. And books is a great way for that to happen, reading in both languages, watching TV shows in both languages. We actually only watch TV. Our girls only watch cartoons in Spanish. It's never in English because they're getting so much more English just in the environment we live in versus Spanish. So it's those intentional choices that we make with what our kids are reading, what they're watching, who we're interacting with. We try to spend a lot of time with my husband's family who predominantly are speaking Spanish. And so it's kind of forces you to practice because I think with language, if you don't use it, you lose it. And especially, you know, with kids, their brains are little sponges. They just absorb absolutely everything that they see and hear. And so it's really important at a young age to be implementing these small, some of them are small, some of them are larger strategies to make sure that they're really soaking it all in, because that is what's going to impact them when they become adults. It's really that understanding of different people and that respect and compassion that comes along with it.
Absolutely. You're 100% right about their brains being like little sponges at this age. I remember when I was teaching preschool, we often had kids coming into the classroom that were from a dual language home. And there would be times when there would be a lot of frustration, whether it was from the child, the parent, or even us as teachers, when we felt like maybe the language from the child was emerging later or more slowly. But I always would reassure parents that it's so wonderful that their child is coming from a dual language environment because they are going to absorb both languages so much more quickly at this young age. And then all of a sudden, the child is going to be speaking both languages so fluently, and you're going to be wondering why you were looking back and worrying. So I think that what you're providing for your kids in a dual language household is such an important thing. And it seems like it's already paying off in terms of their understanding of their identity and who they are and where they come from. I also want to circle back to what you said about making these intentional choices. I think as parents, we all have values and things that are important to us that we want to expose our kids to. And I think it can sometimes be hard to find places or spaces where you can introduce your child to those things, whether it's like serving your community and volunteering or a cultural experience, a religious experience. And I think that the point that you make about these choices, whether they're big or small, making a huge impact. So for example, in our house, I only watch TV with the subtitles on, whether it's shows for me or shows for my kids, because I have a third grader and a kindergartner. So especially for my son, who's starting those like emerging reading skills, it really goes a long way with just like letter recognition and phonemic awareness. So I think that you can't really underestimate the power of those small intentional choices that in the same way that you mentioned. You also mentioned travel, and I have to ask you how you make travel happen with two young kids. And there are days I feel like I can barely get them from their rooms down to the kitchen for breakfast. So talk to us about how you make these cultural experiences and travel happen.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me validate you, because there are days where I feel the same, where it's a victory to just get my oldest on the school bus on time. So I think all of us can relate to that stress and those additional challenges that come with just having kids in general, let alone trying to get from point A to point B with your kids, especially if it involves an airplane or a long car ride. So I think going in with cultural learning that we were just talking about, I think people often have this misconception that if you want to expose your kids to other cultures, you need to travel abroad. And that could not be further from the truth. Traveling abroad is amazing. I love it. I've been to 35 countries. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. It's one of my favorite things. However, we live in such a diverse, multicultural country already. You literally don't really need to go past your neighborhood to experience diversity and expose your kids to that. So I think once we shift our mindset from, I may not have money to travel abroad with my kids, but I still want to expose them to different cultures and different ways of thinking. Once we start looking on a local level, I think that shifts the whole conversation. So for us, you know, the travel that we are doing frequently, because focusing on family travel, you know, we're constantly on the road, whether it's a tourism board that's an hour from our house or flying across the ocean and going to Portugal, which we're doing in a couple weeks. So there are challenges that come with travel, regardless of how near or far you're going. And I think for us, in the moments where we're feeling the stress, the anxiety, the uncertainties, the what ifs, I think for me, my anxiety gets triggered the most when I'm thinking about safety, specifically safety for my kids. But I just have to kind of center myself and remind myself, what are the pros and what are the cons of traveling with your kids? And my list of pros is so much longer than my list of cons. My list of cons is really the challenges, right? The inconveniences. And so for me, we continue to do it because I know firsthand how it's going to positively impact my kids. So there's a lot of strategies, a lot of kind of tips and tricks that I've learned along the way of things that for us, I consider travel essentials. It's really challenging traveling with toddlers and babies. And so my youngest is two. We have things that we take so that she's able to still sleep and be as comfortable as possible that once our kids are a little older, won't have to think about. But it takes a little bit more work, a little bit more planning, but it's totally possible to travel with your kids. They're going to have meltdowns. They're going to not be okay. They're going to have moments where they miss a nap and they're a nightmare. That's going to happen to everyone, myself included. I'm not exempt from that. I just know that it's going to come with the process. I expect it and I troubleshoot with it the same way I would troubleshoot with it if I was in my own home. So for me, it's focusing on the positives and utilizing those strategies to make it more manageable.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's really important, the point that you made about remembering that life is going to happen no matter where you're located. I know in my family, meltdowns are going to happen in Target and they will happen in an airport. So that's
exactly.
So it's a really good point, in that it shouldn't be, fear of meltdowns should not be something that limits you. Can mm-hmm. you also talk a little bit more about how parents might find resources, like you said, in their own neighborhood or in their own community, if they are looking for those multicultural experiences in their own community?
Absolutely. So I think regardless of where in the country you live, there are so many more opportunities than we even realize are there. They're often under our noses and we're just ignorant. We've never heard of it. We never experienced it, but it's there. I think honestly, one of the best places to start is connecting with your local tourism board. This is something most people don't think about because you're like, I live here. Why do I need to talk to the tourism board? But every state has a state level tourism board. And then they have, usually it's by county within the state. And so I would connect, you know, do a quick Google search. This is my county in York County, Pennsylvania. This is our tourism board, which is where I live. And connect with them because their job literally is to know everything that's going on in your county where you live. And they usually have great resources on multicultural events, museums, maybe things that are passing through the area that you can put on your calendar for a couple months from now. But they have a plethora of knowledge on that, even if it's just maybe restaurants featuring different cuisines than your kids have tried before. And you want to introduce them to Thai food or whatever that may be. So I think that's a really great starting point. And then don't underestimate social media. I think too, there's a lot of businesses who are really trying to build their who they are and their reputation and get the word out. And so even just looking for businesses in your area, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever that may be, I think you'll be surprised what you find is in your area that maybe you didn't even know was there.
Those are such good resources. And I definitely would not have thought about my local tourism board. And as you were talking about it, it reminded me that many local libraries also offer those same museum passes. I know I'm in Connecticut, and our library offers a certain number of free museum passes every month. And you literally can just reserve them online and you'll know, okay, we have a free pass to go on such and such a day. And that is a great way to get your kids involved in learning about something new because you don't have to worry about spending money. And also, if there's a meltdown, you're not out a plane ticket. You're not out the money that you invested into that trip. So thank you for bringing that up. So you are traveling to Portugal. You're bringing your kids to all of these rich cultural events. You are providing this environment where they get to just experience their dual identities and be absorbed into Spanish language. What else? What's next on the horizon for you guys?
So we are actually, our big news is we are currently going through the adoption process. We are hoping to complete our family of five. So we became home study approved towards the end of 2023. And so we're kind of in the waiting game at this point, waiting for a match. We have no preference whatsoever when it comes to gender, background, really anything. And so we just trust that whatever is meant to happen is going to happen. And we're continuing to live our life and travel in the meantime. But I know that once we have a little one joining us, we'll slow down a little bit and that's okay. Certainly won't stop traveling. That'll still happen even with a baby, but it'll slow down for a while. So for us, I think from the moment that my husband and I got married and settled down, like family is so important to both of us, you know, that family, I think the importance and value of that is universal, regardless of your background, regardless of anything. And so I had really challenging pregnancies with both of my girls and knew that I wouldn't be able to have a third child, but that we really wanted that. And so for us, it was a no-brainer. Let's adopt. We have the space, we have the means, and I feel like we have the love to give. And so we're really eager to see what's in store on that front. And yeah, so I do talk about that a little bit as well on my social channels. So I'll certainly keep you updated once we have more news.
I really appreciate that you're sharing that. I think that there is so much on the internet and social media that looks perfect and is perfectly packaged and looks simple and easy. And we all know that family and family life is messy and it's so far from perfect. And, you know, your expectations often are just so different from the reality of just the day-to-day of everyday life with kids. So I appreciate that you're sharing that there are, you're on a journey and what's ahead is going to take some time and patience, and we wish you the very best of luck on completing your family. And I'm really excited to watch and wait for updates. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
As we begin to wind down, I want to make sure that everybody can find you online. So where should people find you?
I'm pretty much on every social channel. You can find me on Instagram, which is where I usually post the most. My handle is Sarah Jane Explores, and it's one E with Sarah, with Jane and Explores. And then I also have a blog where I talk a lot about travel recommendations with families and some other things there. That's www.sarahjaneexplores.com. I'm also on TikTok and Threads and Facebook with the same handle as well.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Sarah. As we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familius for their support in bringing this podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review. And when you're ready for the next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you'd choose a book from Familius. One step at a time, we can make the world a happier place.